picture slides. Okay, so why do the 21st century skills exist? Can anybody tell us that? Why do 21st century skills exist? And just pay attention up here right now and have your notes. Okay, does anybody know why they might exist? Okay, because new technologies are developing, and not only because they're developing, but they're developing very, very quickly.
Right, and most jobs utilize these new technologies, so that's why.
Okay, absolutely. That's really what it comes down to, is that most jobs are utilizing new technologies, and in fact, if you don't have the technological adeptness to utilize these tools in the future, there's a good chance you're going to not only have a problem finding a job, you might be completely unemployable. And if you think of even at McDonald's, if you can't use the technology, you're going to have a trouble right now being able to figure out how to take an order. So more and more technology is important. They come from several organizations that came together, mostly business leaders around the nation, who said, what do our students need to know and be able to do in the future? There was a similar report called the SCANS report that came out in the late 80s. And in that report, they said, you know, it really doesn't matter much if the students that you sent to me know a whole bunch of content. What I'm more interested in is, can the students that graduate from your high school, can they solve problems? Can they work together? Can they be collaborative? Can they follow directions? Can they work independently if they need to? And so that was what came out of the SCANS report in the 80s, and late 80s, and we were pretty happy with that. But then when the 90s came around and we came to the turn of the millennium, it became important to think about, well, are those still what business leaders want? So we get together with the business leaders and big organizations and great big meetings, and we say, are these still the important skills? Do you still want them to be collaborative? And what they came back and said is, yes, but there are some other things that are important as well. And so those other things are these. The 21st century skills. The first one is the core subjects, and this is all review for you, you've read it. And those are the language arts, math, science, social studies, including economics, geography, history, foreign language, and the arts. Also, they said it's important not just for them to know that those core subjects, they also need to have certain learning skills. They need to understand information and communications. They need to be able to find information, and they need to be able to communicate using many different media types. They need to be able to think and problem solve. We don't want somebody that can just, you know, go through the motions. We want them to be able to solve problems on their own and be independent. And that comes to interpersonal and self-directional skills. Next, they said that there are new tools that you need to be able to use in this new environment. You need to be able to use the information communication technology skills, and you need to be able to use them effectively. That means, excuse me, not just being able to use the basics of Word if I want to give you a test on it, but to be able to do higher level thinking with it, to be able to use them intelligently and creatively, and to use them ethically. Next, they said that in addition to the content that you need to learn in the core subjects, there's other 21st century content that needs to be addressed. And that included global awareness. And many of you may be familiar with the book, The World is Flat, by Thomas Friedman. And he argues very eloquently that our world, while not physically flattening, is socially, politically, and economically flattening, that we are all becoming interconnected. And he argues that using a lot of economic principles, like the fact that in India, we have a lot of people now who are answering telephones for call centers that are in the United States. And so we are becoming a flatter world in terms of communications. And so global awareness is a very important key for our future. And if children in America are not aware that we live in this global fabric, then we are really going to be disservicing our future generations and ourselves in our old age. They also say for content, they need to understand financial, economic, and business literacy. It's not just enough to know the basic content, your social studies and your math and your science. You have to understand how those work on a global economic scale. And you need to have civic literacy. That's recognizing that you are a part of a community, a local community, a national community, and a world community, and understand the responsibilities that go along with that. And then 21st century context is they say, we need to teach all this stuff, but we also need to teach it in a way that children in the 21st century are going to be able to understand it, and in a way that's going to further our nation and our world in the future. That means that when we instruct students, we need to give them real world examples. We need to give them experiences that happen in the school, but also outside of the school. And when we teach them, we need to teach them with content that's relevant. We can't just say, answer the questions at the end of the chapter, unless those questions at the end of the chapter are something that they can relate to their own lives today. The information should be engaging, so it should be kind of fun, or at least something that they want to do so that they're motivated to do it, and it should be meaningful. And then the last one at the bottom is assessment. And this is, if you think of it as a bridge, assessment goes across that entire bridge. And the assessment piece, they don't say a lot about it, I think, because we really still don't know how to deal with assessment in educational theory, in my opinion. But the key is that we've been giving students all of these standardized tests, saying, can you answer this question or that question? But what we aren't doing right now is we're not testing students in authentic situations. Here's a problem. Can you solve it? And that's what they're looking toward in the 21st century skills, is how can we make assessment something that's real and something that's meaningful and require students to think outside of the general curriculum that we're used to teaching in the 20th century. Okay, so all that comes down to, if we have to teach all that stuff, then how are we going to do that? And the way that you do that is by going into the classroom every day with your classroom of students and delivering some content and having them learn. So there are three ways or three components to making that a reality. The first one is you have to have some curriculum. There's something that you need to teach, and we talked about this last time, and we gave a definition that curriculum is what you teach. And curriculum is made up of your subject area standards, and you'll recall that I showed you examples of the National Council for Technology, or National Council for Social Studies Standards, and the National Council for Teachers of Mathematics Standards. There are also curriculum guides, and you'll recall that I showed you the CCSD Curriculum Essentials Framework, and that's where we get the content that we're supposed to teach. We also noted that in addition to that content, we need to teach some technology skills, like when they said, what are those 21st century tools in the 21st century? So what are those tools, how do you use them, but also how do you use them effectively and intelligently? And now we're adding another layer on that curriculum. We've got to teach the 21st century core subjects and the 21st century content. So there's all this stuff that you have to teach as a teacher. The next thing is there's information about how you're going to teach. First of all, we talked about the instructional designer Gagne last time, and Gagne noted that it's important that when we deliver instruction, we deliver it competently and effectively so that we can get the information across quickly so the students can maintain it. We also talked about how it's important for it to be engaging when we mentioned the 21st century skills, and then, the 21st century context. And then again, we go back to when we're going to instruct students, we need to make sure that we instigate those 21st century learning skills, tools, and context. And then overlaying a third piece, we did curriculum and instruction last time. The third piece that we see in that bridge is assessment. And assessment, which we're going to use kind of interchangeably with evaluation this time, or in this class, really there are two different types. And the first one is formative evaluation or formative assessment. And what that means is that you're assessing students as they're learning. And there's going to be further learning based on what occurs. So if I teach you a concept, I teach you about 21st century skills today, and at the end of today I find that you really don't understand it, then that means that I'm going to reteach it or teach it a different way the next day. So that's formative. It's in a forming process. The next is summative. At the end of the semester, I'm going to expect you to give me a portfolio, and when that portfolio is done and you turned it in, I'm not going to accept any redos of it. It's done. It's your final exam. I'm giving you a final grade on what you've been able to do. It's a summation of everything that you've done, a summary. So formative is something that you do as a teacher on an everyday basis. The only time that you're going to do summative evaluation is when you do not plan to do any reteaching afterwards. Okay, so when you are lesson planning, there are three main parts. First, you have to have some content, some curriculum, and we talked about that before as being the what you will teach. Second of all, you need to know how you're going to teach. So today when you did your sponge activity, I told you what you're going to teach is 21st century skills. Then you had the option of figuring out how you were going to do the instruction. So instruction is how you're going to teach. And then finally, at the end, and what you saw at the end of the lesson plan before that we haven't addressed thus far, is the assessment piece. And that is, how are you going to know that they learned it? Because if they didn't learn it, you have not succeeded as a teacher. It doesn't mean the students didn't pay attention. It means you did something wrong. It's your fault. So you need to figure out if they got it, and if they didn't, you need to go back up here in this circular pattern again. So if my students learned the content, then I can go up and I can choose new curriculum, and I can do new instruction or similar instruction, and I can assess again. If, in fact, my students did not learn the content that I had put forward through the instruction that I had used, when I get to the assessment and I see that I failed in that delivery technique or with that content, then I go back and I redo the same curriculum using new instruction. Or sometimes if I want to use the same instruction, if I think that repetition is going to help, I can do that as well. Okay, are there any questions about this three-pronged circus that we go through on a daily basis as a teacher? Okay, curriculum, instruction, assessment. Okay, what we're going to do now is I'm going to demonstrate how to create a lesson focusing on these three components. And then you are going to work in triads, again in threes, to conceive a 5-minute lecture-based lesson. Your lesson must include the Clark County School District CEF, because when you create your lessons yourselves, then those are going to have to also be include the objectives from the CCSD, CEFs. And the reason that I do that is because I do not at this point expect you to know how to write an